Non-Monogamy Help is a podcast where your questions about open, non-monogamous or polyamorous relationships are answered. Our host, Lola Phoenix, will consult a licensed therapist with over a decade of experience to address your problems. Names and locations have been changed or censored to keep your questions anonymous. You're listening to Non-Monogamy Help, the podcast.
Welcome to episode 47 of the Non-Monogamy Help podcast. I'm Lola Phoenix. Please send your questions to nonmonogamyhelp@gmail.com and they'll either be read in the podcast or the column anonymously. You're more than welcome to select which one you'd prefer. If you want to read the columns and listen to the podcast, you can go to nonmonogamyhelp.com, subscribe to the newsletter by going to go.nonmonogamyhelp.com/email, and you can follow us on Twitter at nonmonogamyhelp. If you want to support the columns and the podcast, please, please, please consider becoming a patron. Even $1 a month can help support the daily running of the columns and the podcast, and it just shows a general vote of support. Yeah, please do that. You can do that by going to patreon.com/LolaPhoenix. If you donate $5 or more a month, your name, with your permission, will be read at the end of the podcast. Let's get to this week's discussion question. If this is the first time you're hearing this, every week before I read the letter, I put forth a discussion question that you can use with your friends, partners, or anyone else that you want to get to know a little bit more. I also answer the question myself briefly to give you a little bit of context. This week's discussion question is probably more for partners than it is for just random people, because this week's discussion question is, if you could create your ideal pornography, what would it feature? And I think that's a really, really interesting discussion question, because I think you start talking about what ideal means, and that's a really interesting way of approaching it. Now, you could just kind of launch in and describe that if you've ever thought about it, but I think it's interesting to think about what ideal means. Does it mean ideal in terms of, you know, like something you would actually do, or something that you want to see done? Which I think is an interesting distinction. I don't know is that I'm going to go into describing my ideal pornography, because I think it really depends on my mood, and like I said, whether it's something that I want to happen to me or if it's something that I just want to watch. I think there are scenarios in my head of things that I would like to see that probably aren't possible without a heavy amount of CGI. I'll leave that up to your imagination, but yeah, I think that is an interesting discussion topic to bring up, maybe with some of friends you really, really know, and less random people on the street. But yeah, I think that's an interesting discussion topic. So I'll say it again so that you have it. If you could create your ideal pornography, what would it feature? All right, let's get to this week's letter. I am new to non-monogamy and kink. I've been exploring non-monogamy for about 1.5 years and kink for about 6 months. They're related because I want to explore different things sexually with different partners and different things romantically with different partners. There's one person I've had an on and off thing for about a year, P. P and I work together, so I see him every day and work with him every day and have lunch with him most days, usually in a group. Every time one of us has a breakup or is in a vulnerable space, we know that the other person will be there in a crisis, so we end up getting emotionally and physically, usually, entangled. Last year, in the fall, I finally realized the reason we are on and off is because P wasn't providing the assurance and support that I needed to know that I was an important person in his life. I asked for this, and he was unable to provide it in a way that felt right to me. P has partners, who he calls partners, and friends, who he calls friends. He always called me a friend, but said our relationship was quote-unquote messy. I realized he could never give me what I wanted, saying that he cared about me and that I was important in his life. Relatedly, I could never get a clear answer on his polyam theory. Is he a relationship anarchist, solo, etc. So I couldn't tell if I was not accommodating his relationship style or what. So in the fall, I broke up with P. For me, it felt like a breakup. He still says, how is it a breakup if we weren't dating? I went through stages of grief and found a therapist and felt totally over it. I reduced the amount of time I saw him, texted him outside work, and ate lunch with him as much as I could. But then, after trying a monogamous relationship for 6 months, putting my kink and polyam explorations on hold, I broke up with that person, and I fell hard into P's arms. And he was there for me. P held me while I cried and reminded me how special I am, and told me that even though this other guy was a good person, that I said I needed more and I had the right to ask for more from him, and if we couldn't meet up more or this other guy didn't allow me to have other sexual partners, then I was allowed to make that decision that was best for me. The issue I have with P is that what I feel is a fundamental incompatibility in our values. I deeply believe that society is structured to privilege some and punish others for things that are out of their control, gender, race, ability. And he agrees that things are unequal, but doesn't agree that we should try to change anything. We are both overthinkers, and a bunch of our conversations end up discussing politics or consciousness on what equality or inequity should or shouldn't look like. This comes into our personal lives and our relationship to each other. He has, in the past, and continues to seek partnerships where he holds a lot of power. He has dated women who have just moved to the country and don't speak English so that he can show them around. He prefers dating smaller women. To me, this all relates to his beliefs about the binary gender system being unequal for a reason, and he tolerates and seeks inequality in his relationships because of that belief. He has joked about wanting a harem, and his preferred structure to be submissive/subservient women answering to and providing for him, and how he loves girls with quote-unquote daddy issues. And the worst part is, he repeatedly says that all men, quote-unquote, would want that if they just, quote-unquote, thought about it long enough. I know that isn't true, and it reminds me of why I shouldn't want to date this person, because I'm afraid I would end up like the women he does date. Unfortunately, I'm in love with him. I told him so about a month ago now, but we also agree that we shouldn't date because we work together and because we have this incompatibility in how we see the world, gender specifically, but also other areas of privilege. I guess I'm wondering if this second incompatibility is the one that makes sense to you. I keep hearing in your podcast that I can't judge or control the other person's relationships with others, and since our relationship is just quote-unquote messy, but I'm not in a submissive or subservient role, is it okay to break up with him over his beliefs and subsequently his other relationships' power imbalances? The other part of my question is, how do I get over this person who I see every day? Before I get to my response to this week's letter, I want to make sure I do one little plug that supports the podcast. A lot of my advice involves encouraging people to seek therapy, and that can be hard. You can't always find a therapist that's near you. Sometimes they're not polyamory friendly, sometimes they're not LGBT friendly, sometimes they're not whatever kind of identity that would help you feel more connected to them. It can be really, really hard to find a therapist that gets you. And if that's the case, you can't find a therapist in your immediate area, then you can try BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online platform where you can find a therapist and chat to them online, send them messages, and you know, it's a lot simpler sometimes than face-to-face therapy. You could be like me and really struggle to get to a therapist's office. And BetterHelp does also offer some financial support options if traditional therapy isn't affordable for you, and that's another reason you haven't pursued therapy. So if you want to try it, support the podcast, you can go to betterhelp.com/nonmonogamyhelp, no hyphens, and you can get 10% off of your first month. And why not? Give it a try. Now, let's get to my response to this week's letter. So, yeah. I don't know if I've ever said that you can't judge other people's relationships with others. I think that you are more than welcome to have opinions about how people run their relationships. And sometimes it just so happens in polyamory that we witness people treating other people like crap, and that changes how we feel about the person that we fall in love with. And polyamory is a really funny thing in that, you know, you do get to see your partner in other relationships, and even though you shouldn't necessarily make comparisons with you and other partners, you can kind of look at the way that they're treating other partners and think about how that plays into the context of your relationships. And then the other thing that you kind of say is, that I do say you can't control another person's relationship with others. You can attempt to. The point that I make with that is that when people attempt to control other people's relationships, it doesn't tend to work out well. What they're trying to do, and generally speaking, they're trying to control others' relationships because they feel insecure about the partnership that they have with that person. So they want to end the other partnerships or control those so that they can feel better about the partnership they have with that person. My point is that you can't fix what's broken in your relationship by restraining someone else's relationships. That's not how it works. That has absolutely nothing to do with this wider point, which is you do not have to, and if no one ever gets anything else from any of my columns except this one line, this is a very, very important line. Wanting to break up with somebody is a good enough reason to break up with them. I see this like all the time, and not even in polyamory, but also in monogamy. It's just people thinking that they don't have a good enough reason to break up with somebody. And I actually tweeted this relatively recently. It's not going to be recently when this comes out because it's, you know, going to be in December. But I tweeted about through the Non-Monogamy Help account that polyamory isn't about, it's about finding multiple fulfilling relationships. It's not about collecting a series of unfulfilling relationships that together form some kind of reasonable stasis for you as a human being. That's not what it's about. But a lot of people just want to use it as a reason to not break up with somebody because it's like, oh, we can just sort of downgrade our relationship or we can change it because they don't want to break up with somebody. If you are not feeling it, then you're not feeling it. And it can be hard to suss that out when you have a lot of emotions in play. You know, you like this guy, you care about him. But if it's not actually serving you, and if, you know, there's a lot of other reasons to not want to be in a relationship with this person. So you don't really have to have a good reason. You can just be like, you know what, actually your politics are kind of shit and I don't want to be a subservient, submissive woman who's part of your harem. And I mean, just think about what he's saying. He agrees that society is unequal, but doesn't think we should try to change it. Well, of course he fucking doesn't, because he likes it that way. And you have to think about, okay, do I really want to be with someone who, it is what you say, a fundamental incompatibility to the point where I don't even know how you end up in conversations with this person. Because the second that somebody basically says to me, yeah, I think society is unequal, but that's okay, I would really struggle. Because that, you have to understand that, you know, people have differences of opinion. You know, not liking pineapple on pizza is a difference of opinion. And it's good, I guess, that he's not, I mean, I guess it's good he's acknowledging that society is unequal, but it comes down to humanity, and people should be treated well and not be taken advantage of. And you kind of have to think about that when you're actually, you know, talking to him about this stuff. Like, he fundamentally disagrees, you know, he acknowledges that society does privilege some and punish others based on things people can't control, like gender, like race, like ability, and he doesn't think you should try to change anything. I mean just sit with that for a little bit. And I know it's really hard because, like, you do have all these feelings, but that is that in and of itself, forget like all this other horrible stuff that he said, that in and of itself is a good reason not to date him. Other good reasons not to date him. He won't, you know, it's really, really funny because you're sitting here and you're saying you're afraid you're going to end up like the women he does date. And you specifically say that he intentionally, or maybe not, you know, knowingly, but it seems like he always dates people he has a power over. So like you said, he will find somebody who's new to the country and who doesn't speak English that well and show him around. He'll date women with daddy issues, which, yikes, with a capital yikes. You are in a less power position, and he's not telling you where you stand in his life to have power over you, and it's working. So you think you're not stuck in this, but you are. He's continually holding power over you. He's gaslighting you. You know, you're saying this feels like a breakup, and he's going, well, it's not a breakup. Well, you feel like it is. So even if he doesn't feel strongly about you, he knows that you feel strongly about him. And every time that you have these, like, situations in your life, you go back to him. So are you not subservient to him in some way? Are you not in some way kind of reliant on him in a way that he probably enjoys? And he knows that the second that he defines this for you and gives you a clarity, then you can go, oh, okay, or nah. And maybe that's why he's not giving you clarity. Because the second he gives you clarity, you will go yes or no. So he keeps you in this limbo, maybe intentionally, for a reason. So, I mean, that in and of itself, all of these reasons are fantastic reasons on their own to break up with somebody. Someone will not give you a clear idea of where you stand in their life and continuously denies your reality when you are, you try to break up with him. And I'm really, really confused because you said, I broke up with him and you went through stages of grief. You reduced the amount of time you saw him. I assume you also reduced it how much you texted him or ate lunch with him. But, you know, you still kind of fall back into them, which I'm not blaming you for. Like, that's totally understandable. But this is kind of where your power lies. And I have no doubt, like, I'm not sitting there watching your debates with him on these fundamental societal issues. But, you know, some of these issues are going to be things where you can have a debate because they won't affect you. I mean, I don't know if gender, race, and ability as things that you can't control affects you on all three accounts. It could. And that's even worse if it does affect you on all accounts. And maybe it doesn't affect him on all accounts. So this is another way that he's kind of probably playing devil's advocate. And it makes my skin crawl. Someone who has all the power in society in a lot of ways and knows it and is going to sit here and discuss politics and consciousness and equity and equality with you when you, in the ways, you know, in the ways that you experience marginalization, you are the one who should be saying, yeah, this is what that is. This is what, you know, if you experience, you know, discrimination based on these things, then you get to say, ah, this is sexism, this is heterosexism, this is, you know, transphobia. If you experience those things, you get to talk about the things which affect you, and you get to define them. And he shouldn't be debating with you about that. He can be asking questions, he can be learning, but where he experiences a privilege and you experience a marginalization, he should be listening to you, but he's not. And that's kind of another way that he's kind of playing this kind of power game. So, yeah. And then everything else he mentioned in this massive paragraph about how he basically just wants tons of subservient women. Like, I would barely call this person polyamorous. I don't know if he defines himself. I mean, he doesn't define himself, so... There isn't anything great about anything that he mentions here. Like, dating women who he knows he has some kind of power over, and to some extent consciously doing this, seeking those relationships. And the daddy issue thing, like, that's so creepy. Triple creepy. Like, ugh. So, you know, and then thinking that this is the way all men are. So clearly all of your debates and your politicking and your higher consciousness discussions about equity and equality are not doing anything. They're not convincing him. He's wasting your time. So yeah, I know that you're in love with him, and that really sucks, but you need to break up with him again. This is really hard, because, like, the best thing that I can recommend for you is, like, get another job. And I know that that's, like, a shitty thing to say, because, you know, I don't know what your life circumstances are. I don't know what kind of job you have. I don't know how easy it is. But whatever you can do to distance yourself from him and really, really put that boundary down, you need to do that. You know, you really, really, really need to do that. And, it's really hard, but you need to make, if he's not going to define the relationship, then you can define it. And you can say, we are just friends, and we are co-working friends. And you need to not have one-on-one lunches with him. If there's a group lunch, then, you know, maybe eat lunch by yourself or find someone else to eat lunch with. I know, like, office politics and shit are really horrible, so maybe you'll be, like, the odd one out. But you know what? How feasible is it for you to stay in this job? Like, even if you don't still love him, even when you do break through all of that, it's going to be really hard to just stay there with, you know, I mean, once all this, I feel like once all the love haze fades and you actually start realizing what a horrible person this guy is, it's going to be hard for you to want to be around him in general. So I really would kind of be looking on the horizon for a different career option or somewhere else to work so that you can stay away from him. Do not answer his phone calls. Do not respond to his texts. Basically treat him like, you know, and make that clear to him. Be like, look, this isn't going anywhere. I need it to go somewhere. We don't agree politically on things. We need to shut this down. We're acquaintances now. And I would appreciate it if you would treat me like an acquaintance. And he might not. I would bet anything that the second you start trying to put some boundaries down, he's going to test them. I don't think he's going to respect them at all, because he's trying to assert power in the way that, you know, that he wants to. And if you need to get HR involved, if you have a union, I would get your union involved first, or at least speak to a union. If you're not a member of a union, look at Industrial Workers of the World. as a union you could check out that is global and is in lots of different places, or if you have a specific career type, there might be a specific type of union that has a lot of members. Ask, you know, do a Google. I'm not quite sure what to recommend. IWW is good for all different kinds of work. It doesn't have to be just industrial work. So speak to your union and have them work with you to talk to HR if you need to, and say, we've had a bit of a kind of, not really, but kind of relationship, and I want to end it and I want to remain professional. And if he, you know, make that really clear, and then when he violates those boundaries, make sure you have documentation of your response saying, please don't do this, but, you know, like, and document everything. Because, you know, he's also given, I hope he never said all this to you in a work environment. Like, I really hope it wasn't, I know that, ugh. Gosh, even just like thinking, it's horrible. Like, all of these things he said, like, triple yikes, like quadruple, I don't know any higher multiples of yikes. It's a big yikes. It's a very big yikes. But, you know, having that documentation on your side, if he does decide to be more assertive in his assumption that he is entitled to more power than you are, then you can have that in your back pocket. But I really hate this advice in terms of telling you to switch jobs, because that's, you know, I've been in career situations where that is just not a friggin' option for me. And I don't know what your options are, but yeah, that is probably the best thing, I think, for you, is to physically get yourself away from the situation. If you can't, or if it's going to take a while, then like I said, I'll reiterate, redefine your relationship clearly. It's not messy anymore. It's very clean. It's an acquaintance relationship. You're not even close friends. We're acquaintances. The end. And treat him as you would any other random coworker you have no history with. And if you have to get a friend or someone else involved in your life to check you every time you feel like texting him, every time, you know, find some other friends, like, distract yourself. If you're new to a town or you're new to a place, you probably, maybe, hopefully have other friends you can send an online chat to, explain to them. You don't have to talk to them all about all of, like, polyamory stuff or anything, but you can say, like, look, or even just go into a polyamory community and just be like, I need someone to talk to tell me to not text this person. That's what friends are for. They're supposed to be there for you to say, don't you dare. Don't text him. Don't talk to him. Duh. Pretend that he is a zombie, and if you go anywhere near him, he'll bite you, and you will be a zombie for the rest of your life. That's it. Every time, like, do, like, this isn't real advice. This is, I was gonna say, like, you know, do some associations where, like, every time you see him, picture a zombie, and, you know, hopefully that message will go through. I know it's gonna suck, because you are feeling the feels for him, and you've got probably goo-goo eyes that are distracting you from these truly, truly horrible things that this man has said. And I'm hoping that by telling you that you are in a submissive role in this situation, that might snap you out of it a little bit. But it'll be shitty, it'll be sucky, it'll hurt, but you have to just step away from this dude. There, like, even if even if all you told me was that he wants a harem and thinks that all men want harems, that was enough. Like, I would have said, no. Stay away from this dude. Like, so the fact that all of this other background, yeah. Just, that's my best advice. You know, it's okay. It's always okay to break up with someone if you want to break up with them. You know, generally speaking, I think that it's always worth, if you're in a long, long-term relationship where there are lots of bonds, thinking about the reasons behind them. You know, I don't always advocate people break up right away, but that hasn't anything to do with judging other relationships. It has to do with, you know, how attached you are, you know, whether or not the person involved has shown a commitment to recognizing where they've hurt you, things like that. Like, yeah, it's tricky, but I'm just saying that, like, yes, it is okay for you in this situation to break up with him over his horrible, truly disgusting beliefs and the power imbalances that he seeks and has in your relationship with him as well. Yes, that is okay. And in the future, if you are just not feeling it, if somebody isn't meeting your needs, if it's just not working out, and they have no desire not only to fix the problems in life, but to fix the problems in your relationships to the point where they deny your reality, then yes, you can absolutely break up with them. Absolutely. Yes. My secondary advice, I know that it's... if you can find another job, please try. Because it's going to be really, really hard. And I honestly, like, if he believes all of this horrible, horrible stuff, I just don't think he's going to be respectful of your boundaries. I don't think he's going to make this easy for you. And I bet if we continued talking and you told me more about him and about these situations where you've fallen into his arms, I'm betting that there was something he did. I think there's more to that story, so... So yeah, please, if you can, try to get out of that situation, find a union, talk to them about the situation, make boundaries very clear with him and absolutely firm, and then document the hell out of when he doesn't respect them as much as you can. Always try to get witnesses. Never be alone with him in any situation. And if you need your union to talk to your HR department and say there was a previous situation with him, you have some history, and you don't feel comfortable being alone with him, then do that. If you have the union behind you, like, don't trust HR. They're there to protect the company. They're not there to protect you. And if he is in a higher position than you, then more likely than not, they're going to get rid of you than actually try to fix the situation. So be wary of HR, but if you have a union on your side, then they will protect you and advise you of what your rights are and what you can ask for and argue for. So yeah, I'm so sorry you're in this situation, because it really, really sucks, but I'm just hoping that the clarity that I've been able to provide for this situation has helped you realize that you deserve a lot better than this, and you don't deserve to be this ridiculous push-pull tug-of-war crap for this guy. And as much as he might have been, I mean, it, honestly, like, such a low bar. P walked into a bar because it was set so low. Like, telling you that you have the right to, you know, ask for more sexual partners if that's what you want, and telling you that you are special, anyone can do that. That's being a friend. And maybe you haven't had very good friends in your life and can relate, but he's not doing, you know, there's another episode I did ages ago about gold medals. Please go look that one up. Because you're giving him gold medals for shit that basic friends should do. Friends should be able to tell you all this stuff. He's not doing anything amazing by doing that. He's just, you know, doing what he should do as a friend. It's yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna stop. I just feel really bad for your situation. I really, really hope that you're able to do all these things, because you definitely, definitely don't deserve to be this weird second fiddle in this guy's bizarre harem. Okay? I hope that helps, and good luck. Thank you for listening to episode 47 of Non-Monogamy Help. If you want to be awesome, you can donate to our Patreon. Donating $5 or more means that your name, with your permission, will be read at the end of the podcast. This week's current patrons are
Laura Boylan, Chris Albury Jones, Juke, Kia, and James Wartell.
If for whatever reason you can't become a patron because life happens, then you can take 5 minutes to log into iTunes, find the podcast, rate, and review it, and that would be even more helpful. Well, it would be helpful, and it's useful. So it helps us get the podcast out there to new people. If you don't want to write a review, that's totally okay. You can just do a rating. That's also appreciated. So yeah, if you have 5 minutes to spare, then please, please log into iTunes and do that if you can. Thanks. That's all for this week. You'll get a new column next Friday and another podcast episode in a fortnight. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Non-Monogamy Help. Our podcast music has been provided by Chris Albury Jones at albury-jones.com, and the art was made by Dom Jung at domduong.com. Thank you for listening.